Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
It's breezy and cooler with some sunshine and some clouds on Thursday with a high of 55. Then Friday, sunny for the most part, clouds at the end of the day, high 57. 60, the high on Saturday with a shower possible.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Ohio State is going to play Kansas in one half of the bracket in the Final Four on Saturday at the Superdome in New Orleans. The other half will have Louisville against Kentucky. Last week we had on before the Sweet 16, the play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Radio Network, Paul Keels. And we bring Paul back in because they won their way through, beat Syracuse 77-70 in the regional final after knocking off Cincinnati. And, Paul, I think when you look at Ohio State, everybody knows about Jared Sullinger. They know about Will Buford. They know a lot now about Aaron Kraft. But a guy that really came through for Thad Matta in Ohio State would have to be Lenzell Smith Jr. What have you seen from him, not just today, but really all season long from this guy?
Well, Steve, let's go back to last year. This was a kid that is a freshman who everybody thought might get some playing time, but he injured his wrist coming at the start of practice, and it really kind of set him back to where he never really was able to gain meaningful minutes. He earned the fifth starting spot coming into this year and was a guy that really was just looked at more as a defensive rebounder type. They wanted him to kind of claim some of the role that David Leidy had had forever here, but Lenzell's a guy that, you know, the early part of the year, his three-point shooting percentage was better than his three-throw shooting percentage, but he's a guy that just, he gives you that physical presence on defense. He's been a phenomenal rebounder, really, for a 6'3", 6'4", guy. But he hit a big three-pointer against Gonzaga in the second game at Pittsburgh the previous weekend. And what he did against Syracuse by hitting a couple of three-pointers, hit a big two-pointer late, and cashing in at the foul line was huge. And Thad Matta mentioned on his call-in show last night that the shoot-around that day, Lenzell was just ripping it up from three-point range in their shoot-around. So they kind of had a feeling that if Syracuse gave him a little space and he had the opportunity to take some shots, that he might be on the makings of having a pretty good day, and he really did.
If you were to have told me at any point this year that in the NCAA tournament Will Buford would be 8 of 33 from the field, I would have told you there's no way, personally, that I think they would get to New Orleans. But Lenzell Smith Jr. has made up for that, hasn't he?
Well, he has, but Steve, let's also say this. Will Buford had 9 rebounds against Syracuse the other day. He's, according again to Thad Matta, Buford's probably played some of his best defense of the year in stages during the last two games. And my partner Ron Stokes made a great point before the game against Syracuse on the heels of a low offensive output that Buford had against Cincinnati. They didn't necessarily need him to be great. They needed him to be average. So 13 points, 9 rebounds from William Buford against the Syracuse zone defense. You'll take that, especially when the other guys are doing what they're doing offensively.
Right, and the 9 rebounds was huge because they needed to get Syracuse one and out as often as possible.
They did, and he also was a key. I mean, we're used to Aaron Kraft coming up with these great defensive plays, but William Buford late in that second half was right in the middle of Syracuse making a couple of costly turnovers when they were trying to climb back into the game.
I said yesterday on the show that I thought Aaron Kraft was the best defensive guard I've seen in the Big Ten since Joe Crispin. Now, since Mike Kelly.
I'm sorry, there's a problem with the phone line.
Believe me, there are a lot of problems with that statement. I thought he was the best defensive guard I've seen in the conference since Mike Kelly, and I actually think Aaron's better than Mike, just on an objective point of view. What makes him, I mean, I know he has that dogged determination, but what does he do fundamentally, Paul, that you see game in and game out that makes him a great defender and arguably the best defending guard in the country?
Well, I'm not smart enough to see it myself, Steve, but listening to other coaches, both Ohio State's and other people's, what they say and what they seem to think leads to all of that is his footwork, that he seems to have his feet and or lower legs and lower body always kind of pointed in the right position to just kind of recognized, okay, what is it that I can bring to this team and just play defense and move the ball around? And what he did in Boston this past weekend, and I'm sure you may have seen the one play against Syracuse where he just went falling out of bounds, chasing down a ball, and blindly threw it back in where a teammate got it. It just amazes you. And I think that what happened over the last weekend is the country has seen, what those of us that cover Big Ten teams have seen, with how he can turn a game around defensively. And he did that without any question against Cincinnati on Thursday night.
Jared Sullinger, Thad has gone about the business that if he does get in early foul trouble, he's been sitting him. When you have talked to him, whether it was on his show last night or at any point, obviously he has not fouled out of games, because in the last five games, the only time he had four fouls was against Michigan State. Every time else, it's either been two or three once the game was over with. That doesn't mean he wasn't in early foul trouble in the first half. Has he thought about putting him back in the first half at all, or is he comfortable with going about it that way because he feels the final 20 are so important to have him out there?
Well, I think the game would probably dictate that, and that's exactly what we were thinking Saturday when he got the two early fouls. And by the way, that second foul was a little shaky call, don't you think?
A little shaky? You have to be kidding me.
And there were some serious makeups going on in the game after that. But, you know, when he went out, when he did, with 9-plus to play, that's kind of the thought that's wandering around in our minds. But Evan Ravenel came out and has been very workmanlike. And they probably have had more confidence in Evan since the last game of the regular season when he scored 7 points in 8 minutes against Michigan State. The minutes they got out of Amir Williams, you would have never expected to come. A kid that hasn't played an awful lot. Yes, a McDonald's All-American, but really looked at as a project at this level to come in and block a couple of shots, to score on a dunk and do the things that he did, you know, grab a handful of rebounds, was gravy. And for them to be able to bridge the gap with Ravenel, and Williams comes in after Ravenel got his second foul in the first half, and to keep Ohio State in the position where they were tied at halftime with Syracuse was huge. And you've got to imagine that it will give Thad Mata and his coaches more confidence to go to both Ravenel and or Williams from here on out.
If I recall, when Penn State played Ohio State, Amir Williams going into the game was the team leader in block shots despite limited minutes. Is he still right about in that neighborhood despite limited minutes?
Because this is not a team that's had a shot blocker like a, you know, as you would remember, a Ken Johnson or even a Dallas Lauderdale. And as I sit here and look at it now, Amir Williams with 23 blocks by far. Well, Jared Sullinger has 36 blocks.
Okay, there you go.
But a lot of those have come lately, Steve. It's come in the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament. Jared's just not one of those guys that gets off the floor a ton. He gets in good position. I think you've seen him maybe get some blocks on guards going to the basket. But Williams has that knack to be a Lauderdale or a Ken Johnson type of shot blocker.
In fact, Ohio State really will be the only team in the Final Four that doesn't have a true shot blocker. Withy has had a great year. He's averaging 3.5 blocks a game for Kansas at this point. How much have they looked as of last night when you talked to Thad about Kansas?
Well, you know, they played him in early December.
Yep.
And that was the second of two games that they did not have Sullinger because of the back spasms. And I think really so much has changed since then, Steve. Kansas is a much different and better team than they were at that stage. I think after they beat Ohio State, they lost to Davidson at home.
They did.
Withy has become a force that he was not in that game. The guy that hurt Ohio State was Kevin Young coming off the bench with 14 points. Robinson didn't really get going until late in the basketball game. And it was one of those that Ohio State fell behind by a bunch early. And then thanks to Buford and Deshaun Thomas, they got close and late in the game got within three or four, but just couldn't quite get over the hump. So I think really what it served is just it gave Ohio State, probably as it did Bill Self, a little head start on personnel, just because, you know, they were familiar with one another. And by the way, they will play again next year in a return game here in Columbus.
Right. And on top of that, Ohio State's a different basketball team. You mentioned Soldier didn't even play, but even everybody else is different, too.
Without question. And, Steve, that was probably the start of getting Deshaun Thomas rolling offensively this year. And again, some of that was, you know, without Sullinger, they needed Thomas and Buford to, you know, really pick up the load offensively, as Kraft did in that game as well. Thomas had 19, Buford had 21, and Kraft had 11 before fouling out. So, yeah, Ohio State is a different team. From right off the get-go, as you said, Lenzel Smith now is more of a viable offensive option than you would have thought at that point of the year. They've just got a better handle of what they can do and a better handle on playing together.
And DeSean Thomas, as you mentioned, Paul, he has just had quite a season. You hope guys get better from year to year, that guys will step up and fill the gap left by people who did leave. And Ohio State, between Lauderdale, Diebler, Lighty, lost three quality, not just players, but individuals. He has meant the world to this team, hasn't he, by the way he stepped up?
Well, he has, and Steve, the amazing thing about DeSean is last year being that first guy coming off the bench, defense was a rumor. Rebounding was an afterthought. He was coming out basically, he was in the role that Daquan Cook was a few years ago. He was coming in looking to jack up three-pointers in a hurry. Now what you're seeing him do is, he's driving to the basket. He's getting into the lane. He really helped them a lot Saturday with getting the ball against that Syracuse zone around the foul line area and then trying to make something happen with other people or himself. So he's not just an outside gunner. And he's shown the Daquan Cook type of knack for rebounding. At one point, I know he had more offensive rebounds than defensive rebounds. And his defense has improved. I don't think anybody will mistake him for Aaron Kraft, but his defense is better.
You've been to the Final Four. You've worked the Final Four. Thad Matta has coached in the Final Four, but none of the players have ever been to the Final Four. You know the atmosphere, both between open practices, press conferences, and then the game itself, that they will be walking into. Do you see an Ohio State team that is mentally in tune, that will handle that part of it with relative ease right till tip-off?
I think so, Steve. Given all of the media attention that they've dealt with this past weekend in Boston, as you would imagine, the Syracuse media contingent was a large one. With all of the media attention surrounding, Ohio State and Cincinnati and their infrequency of playing one another. So they've kind of been through the meat grinder with all of that stuff. And to listen to these guys, they're saying all the right things. They're approaching it as a business trip. They're not looking, going down for fun. The coaching staff kind of required them to get their ticket situations dealt with by the end of the day yesterday. So certainly you think so. And it's a group that it's been interesting to see. They've kind of adapted a little of that, we against the world. And you may have seen some of the quotes after the game Saturday where Jared Sullinger was thanking the media people for not thinking they were tough enough to do what they did and winning a share of the conference championship and all of that. They've pulled together and they found whatever they've needed to find a rally around. And even if they have to manufacture it, it's a team that seems to, as much as you can guess going into this, mentally be in the right frame of mind.
See, I think what the interesting part of that answer is that the coaching staff made them take care of the ticket thing right away. That's a staff that's been through it before. That's what they know. And that's a big difference.
And think about this with the makeup of the staff, Steve. Not only Thad Matta going through it here in 2007, you have Dave Dickerson, who was part of Gary Williams' national championship staff in Maryland, and I think at least two other Final Four appearances. And you have Chris Gent, who went to the NBA Finals on the staff of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, they're not all novices when it comes to this.
Exactly. And neither are you. I am personally thrilled for you, and I hope you have a great time down there. And the great time you and I both know means getting to Monday night. So best of luck to everybody.
Without question.
Best of luck to everybody in the Ohio State contingent, and for me personally, most especially you. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Means a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Radio Network, previewing the Final Four matchup with Kansas. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Spring is upon us, and at Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck in Sunbury and Salins Grove, we are ready for what comes next. Vacations, golf, and cruising, plus lots of other fun things, but you have to get there, and that's where we have you covered. First, come to the showcase event at Zimmerman's in Sunbury on Route 61 or in Salins Grove on Routes 11 and 15 south of the mall. Step 2, pick out your brand new 2012 Chrysler Town & Country, a top pick for vacationers and golfers, or maybe a 2012 Chrysler 300 Limited for cruising through the beautiful countryside. Hey, even even a new Dodge Charger RT provides really inspired driving. Now step three, and this is the best step of all, sign and drive. Yep, that's it. Leave your checkbook at home. No money down and no first payment up front, and you can drive home a 2012 Chrysler Town & Country or a new 300 Limited for as low as $359 a month. Get your heart racing with a new Hemi-equipped Charger RT for as low as $369 a month. That's it. No catch. We'll see you later today during the showcase event at Zimmerman's in Sunbury and Salins Grove, where you will always drive away smiling.
With approved credit, see salespeople for details, tax and tags not included. The best care, the best attention, in the best facility. It's all at Nottingham Village Senior Living Community. Family owned for over 30 years, Nottingham Village is committed to quality of life, your life. Comfortable elegance is the staple of Nottingham Village.
Let's hear from Ken and Julie Trometer, country house residents at Nottingham Village.
I enjoy living in my Nottingham country house. It means no more lawn care, raking leaves, cleaning gutters, or clearing snow. Also, it's easier to stick to a budget. You don't have unexpected expenses like repairing or replacing the roof, heating unit, or appliances.
The Nottingham Village community is beautifully maintained inside and out. The houses are really nice and well laid out with plenty of storage. The maintenance-free and worry-free lifestyle here at Nottingham Village appealed to us. We had planned to move here eventually, but decided why wait?
For more information, visit online at nottinghamvillage.org. People caring for people. We're Nottingham Village.
Put some spice in your life. Forget eating the same boring old thing at the same boring old place. Visit Abrana Marie's Taco Queen at the end of 2nd Street in Sunbury by the bridge. It's the best in Southwestern food, including enchiladas, chimichangas, and burritos, and that's only a sample. They really do give you the whole enchilada, including best prices and many more terrific menu selections. Wednesday, March 28th, get your half-price gift certificate to treat your taste buds at Abrana Marie's Taco Queen, 901 South 2nd Street, Sunbury. It's Wednesday, March 28th at 9 a.m., only at WKOK.com.
Designer Homes is proud to announce a new, affordable, and stylish home, the Harvest Gold. This home's perfect for first-time homebuyers. Starting at just $69,995, this over 1,300-square-foot home is loaded. Three bedrooms, two baths, and kitchen with lots of cabinets, plus many upgrades standard inside and out. You'll think you hit pay dirt with the Harvest Gold. Don't delay. Stop and tour today on the Designer Homes lot in Mifflinburg. Call 966-6244 or visit online at designerhomesofpa.com.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Welcome back to the show. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Super Bowl champion New York Giants will open the season against the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium on Wednesday, September 5th, to kick off the 2012 regular season. They have to play on a Wednesday and not a Thursday because it turns out that Thursday, September 6th, President Obama will be accepting the Democratic nomination for president and thus will make a speech to the nation that night. And the last thing they need is the embarrassment of having the Giants and the Cowboys end up getting a 42 rating.
Exactly. I just wonder, will NBC have whoever they're going to have sing the theme song to a special Wednesday night one?
Well, maybe. Could be. But they are going, it's the first Wednesday regular season game in the NFL, I think, in 60 years.
Yeah, you had that the other day, and we looked it up, and you were correct with your guess. I wanted to say you said 68.
So it's been a long time since they've played a Wednesday night game in the NFL. And long time. But they're doing it to make it an accommodation, and neither team cares. I mean, what's the difference? The rating is going to be great on a Wednesday night anyway.
Well, and it's not like it's Wednesday night after you just got done playing, like, Sunday night.
Right. I mean, the final preseason game is going to be the Saturday before that. It's going to be 10, 11 days. You know? It's going to be like 10 or 11 days between, and hardly anybody's going to be playing in that last preseason game anyway.
Actually, I was wrong. It was 48, not 68, 1948.
Yeah, I said over 60 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the that's the deal. It's going to be on Wednesday night.
They're going to have a concert before the game this time?
I have no idea. You have to ask them.
I was just curious.
No. So. No. That is. I'm sure they'll come up with something. I mean, it'll knock out the. I don't know if the vice president is accepting that night. So, I mean, obviously, that, you know, that's a who cares night.
Does
I mean, really.
That really matter? I mean, let's face it. The only thing you're going to be listening for the next morning is to see if there were any sound bites where he flubbed up. That's the only thing anybody cares about with his acceptance speech of the VP.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the reason they're doing it. The president is accepting the Democratic nomination on the 6th. And because of that, they'll play on Wednesday, September 5th. It's the Cowboys and the Giants. It'll get a great national rating. The president himself might even watch. Mr. President, the committee, yeah. It's the fourth quarter.
You know, we haven't heard much about his NCAA bracket since ESPN did a whole segment on it and lasted it over 2 days. Now, you don't hear much about his bracket anymore.
Well, if he picked all number ones in the women's bracket, he's in good shape.
I was going to say, he's fine there. I don't know what he picked on the women's side. The other interesting NFL news is... the first pick in the NFL draft may not be the lock that we thought it was. The Colts saying that they may not be going that route.
When Peyton Manning was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts, what was the theme?
What was the theme?
Yeah. Nobody knew leading up to the day of the draft whether they would draft Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf.
Oh, okay.
And it went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The Colts are going to draft Andrew Luck. All right.
If they don't, the Redskins are really going to be ticked off. Or maybe not. Maybe they're going to think they'll be fine with Luck too.
Look, I think you win with either guy. There's, you know, I think either guy you do well with. I think they both are have a chance to be quality NFL quarterbacks. But when the Ursays went through this in 1998, and went back and forth every day between Ryan Leaf of Washington State and Peyton Manning of Tennessee. Manning, I mean, every day, right up to the day of the draft, nobody quite knew what the Colts were going to do. And here's the same situation. They'll draft Luck in the end. So, they'll draft Luck in the end, I think.
Then you have the young man from Texas A&M and the debate on where he goes next.
With Tannehill?
Tannehill, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, no question. And... he gives me that Christian Ponder feeling the way he plays. But these are the top two guys. These are the top two guys. And
I think today the NFL officially set the draft now with all the changes that were around.
Right.
So it's Indianapolis, Washington from St. Louis, Minnesota, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, St. Louis from Washington, Jackson, Miami, Carolina, and Buffalo rounding out the top five.
Well done.
The Eagles pick 15th. The Steelers pick, 24th. And they'll take an offensive lineman, please.
Do you have a recommendation?
I don't care. Just a good one. Actually, it's a pretty good one from Ohio State, an offensive tackle they've been looking at.
Michael Adams.
That's the one.
Yep, suspended last year for the after the Sugar Bowl.
I don't care, just as long as he blocks.
No. Welcome back to the show. It's great to be with you. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Final half hour is normally when we get a lot of calls rolling in. And... again, whatever questions you have about Penn State football,
Maybe so the fact we haven't really had as many questions or comments about what the moves they've made and the ramifications of the moves. I can tell you right now, not moving Drake over to offense, the Patriots rarely ran, only once in a while would they run something. They didn't run Wildcat. So I wonder if, and they think Drake can be a good athlete over there. It doesn't mean Drake isn't going to be moved back to offense. Because Adrian Amos is a little bit banged up right now. That's why Drake was running on the first group at corner yesterday, because Amos is banged up just a bit. Amos is out there, but he's banged up. So
the latest on our poll question at stevejonesshow.com is McGloin, Jones, and other in a three-way tie. Rob Bolden still has not yet gotten a vote as who should be the starting quarterback at Penn State.
Yeah, I see. Just interesting, believe me, because they aren't going to care.
No, but it's fun for us to talk about.
I mean, what are your thoughts out there? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. And love to hear from you.
I mean, last year as a fan, I thought McGloin had times where he looked like he was in control of the offense. And then other times that I thought he was trying to win the game with one throw.
Sure. I mean, McGloin was a little bit more controlled last year. He didn't take as many chances last year. So,
was it there's no 14-point touchdown pass, so you got to move the ball down the field.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So, I mean, he was more controlled last year, but he ended up with fewer touchdowns. I think Penn State was last in the nation in touchdown passes last year. Bill O'Brien wants to change that. He was utilizing tight ends, and just like you would expect, there's a lot of the Patriot influence in there. There's one practice, and we'll get by. I like the tone, the pace of the practice. They get a lot done in 90 minutes. They'll line up, for example, offense will line up to run a play going to my right while the second group is already set to go on the left. Team runs it on the right. As soon as they're done, boom, they move to the left-hand side, and they start running their play. I mean, there's just a lack of a waste of time and space in there. So
I'm actually trying to find that stat that you were just talking about. Touchdown passes by team.
I think they were last in the nation last year. So they need more out of it. There's no question about it. And they're going to have to. They're also going to have to do a better job as receivers of getting separation downfield. They'll need to do that. They have to do a better job of getting separation downfield. For the moment, you're concerned that it's more of a station-to-station passing game. So, they have to do that. And they were lining up tight ends in different spots. I mean, it wasn't all the same. So, we will see how it plays out. I mean, he knows he has a major league running back in Silas Red. I mean, he knows he has that. But again, even Red has to get better. And part of the area where Silas Red has to get better is he has to be a better pass receiver out of the backfield. Because by being a better pass receiver out of the backfield, it puts Silas Red in space. And by putting Silas Red in space, you now have an opportunity at a big play because he can make somebody miss in the open field. And that's where he needs to be better in this offense. He needs to be better as a pass receiver, a more dependable pass receiver. And we also know he has to be a little bit better pass blocker, too. He realizes that. But the pass receiving part, Red can be invaluable. You could swing it. If you can get the ball into his hands 25, 30 times in a season, not a lot to ask. You're talking about two and a half times a game on the average. Then I think you have an opportunity at some big plays. You can get an additional, in a season, out of him an additional 250 to 400 yards out of him in the receiving part of the game.
Penn State had, I'm sorry, Steve. Penn State had 10 touchdown passes as a team last year.
Right.
And I haven't seen anybody that's had any higher.
No.
The lower, or lower. Florida Atlantic had 8, and Army had 5.
Right.
Well, and Ole Miss had 9.
Army runs the wishbone.
Do you wonder why they would only have a few?
Right.
Yeah, those were the only teams that were lower. Florida Atlantic with 8, Ole Miss with 9, and Army with 5.
So you're talking about a 116 out of 120.
Right. That's exactly right.
And they need more out of that. There's no question, because they averaged 19 points a game last year. And that included, you know, remember, they had 41 against Indiana State. They had 34 against Eastern Michigan. And they'll need to ratchet that up. And they still put themselves in a position by playing great defense and by pulling out close wins last year. They were still 8-1 through 9 games last year. They were still 8-1 through 9 games last year, despite all, because they found other ways to get it done. When Farrah came in and started handling all three parts of the kicking game, kickoffs, placements, and punting, it made a big difference in the special teams.
And Penn State was 110th in the country in points per game average at 19.31.
Right. So they're looking to get more out of that. It's going to have to start up front, and that's going to have to start with the quarterbacks after that, making this happen in this offense. He needs to get something out of them.
Well, those are some scary numbers. I mean, when you look at them compared to the rest of college football, that's some scary offensive numbers.
Yeah, it is. So, but that's in the past. But again, they were still an 8-1 football team making the turn into November.
Right. That's the thing that even that says something about your defense then.
And your special teams.
Well, yeah.
I mean, again, what Farrah did helped out tremendously. So.
Let's see, Penn State was 5th in the country in opposing points per game at 16.7.
Right, exactly.
Alabama was number 1 with 8.15. 8.15.
Yeah, Penn State scored 11 against them.
Wow.
Played Alabama last year.
That's a touchdown and two-point conversion, and then game over.
Well, think of the game they lost to LSU. They only gave up 9.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, 9-6. Yeah. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. And we go to Sealands Grove and JC. Hi, JC. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you today, Steve?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, listen, I was listening to you guys talk on the radio, and you know, you're talking about a lot of talent and a lot of things like that, but I'm just really curious as to how many of the returning upperclassmen are coming back this year. And, you know, a lot of times it's their ability to lead the team. I know a quarterback's usually the leader of the team. He's the general. He conducts everything. But a lot of the gel comes from the guys that were playing that come back. And well, I was just curious as to how many are coming back. And also curious as to what kind of talent did they bring in this year? Who did they sign, and what positions, and do you think they'll see any play time?
Well, you know, the positional balance is okay with this group. They have 19 that will be coming in that signed in the first Wednesday of February. And we'll see what happens with them. Jesse James is already in, and he's playing tight end, and he looks like a very good prospect. You'll see him in the blue-white game wearing number 18. So he's already there. I like his strength, and I also think he has pretty good football sense out there. Up front, Matt Stankavich, John Urschel, and Mike Farrell would be the returning guys with experience up front. Kevin Hapley's back. Gary Gilliam started at tight end 2 years ago. He's back. You have Davon Smith, Shawnee Kersey, along with Justin Brown out at wide receiver. Bill Belton's been moved to tailback. Silas Redd's back. Michael Zordich is back. And, of course, we've talked about the three quarterbacks. On defense, Pete Massaro's returned to defensive end. Sean Stanley's back. We don't often talk about him. Jordan Hill, James Terry, Glenn Carson at linebacker, Kyrie Fort,
Michael Motti, Gerald Hodges. Those are the four primary linebackers. Michael Yancic is back. Brad Barnes is back. And then in the secondary, you have Stephon Morris and Malcolm Willis that have played the most of anybody in the secondary, along with Adrian Amos. And then you have, obviously, Anthony Ferris, a kicker who handled all three spots last year.
Oh, it sounds like they got all the materials they need. It's just a matter of putting it all together. The coach that's coming in, you know, he's going to have a different leadership style. He's going to have a totally different style that the guys that are coming back are going to have to get used to. And I just hope that they can they get used to him and they accept him and they embrace him and they trust him. And that's pretty much what it's going to boil down to this year. I think it's going to be just a building year, getting used to the new offense, new defense, and then. Man, I really believe with all my heart, I think they're just going to be terrors and tough next year.
I think they'll develop play. He's going to have game captains, by the way. They'll not be permanent captains named until the final game of the season against Wisconsin. Wow. He's going to go with game captains. So he wants to promote and foster leadership there. I think at the moment, it's difficult to be a leader because first you have to make sure you're secure in what you're doing. Once you're secure in what you're doing, then you can lead. And on both sides of the ball, they're learning new schemes. And they're trying to get comfortable with new schemes. Even where you line up is new. And you may run a pass play that's similar to the old way, but you may be 3 yards inside of that. As a linebacker, you may be, okay, we need you actually like 2 feet over here. So there are little subtleties along the way that they have to master first, then they'll be able to lead. I think everybody is in a learning mode right now and trying to make sure they're secure in their spot.
Right, I agree with that too. Everybody's still adjusting, and I don't know how many games of the year you think it's going to take before they start putting all the pieces together the way they're supposed to fit.
Well, you know what? I like the way the schedule plays out, JC, because you know last year you had a great Alabama team and a really good Temple team. And then mediocrity in Eastern Michigan and Indiana State. This year you have a good Ohio University team. Frank Solich is an excellent coach. You have a good Virginia team on the road. You have a good Navy team. And you have a good Temple team. So you have four good teams at the start. I didn't say great, awesome, incredible. I said four good teams at the start. And I actually think they'll have a very good read on where their football team is and what they're capable and not capable of doing through those four games when they hit the Big Ten opener.
It's going to be a good season this year. I think they're going to do really well. You know, last year I would have never guessed that they were going to start out last year with the quarterback problems they had and trying to get everybody used to everything and all the distractions that they would go, you know, 8-1. And Penn State, you know, they're surprising. I think it's all in what the kids want to do this year. And I think they want to win. I really do. I think they want to win, and I think they want to succeed, and I think they're going to do well this year. And every day that it's a nice day like this, and I'm driving home listening to you guys talk on the radio, I am so fired up for this year's college football.
I think a lot of people are. I think we're all excited about this thing, and I think once it gets rolling, it's going to be a tremendous thing for all of us to watch.
I appreciate you taking my call, and you know, you guys are a plethora of information, and like I say, I'm new to the area, and I'm a big Penn State fan now that I live here in the area, and I root for them, and I cheer for them, and I wasn't here through all the Jopa years, but I was here for a few of them, and the man's great, the school's great, the football program's great, and I think it's just going to be a continuing tradition.
Okay, we'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show in just a moment here on WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Do your feet hurt? They shouldn't. Let Albright Foot Care Center be your foot care provider. Do your heels hurt at first step in the morning or after periods of inactivity? Are you unable to enjoy walking and exercise because of ear pain? Fortunately, the doctors at Albright Foot Care Center can help alleviate your discomfort. Doctors Tom and John Albright and Dr. Dave Bodmer offer a variety of treatments to help eliminate heel pain and improve your quality of life. To schedule an appointment in one of our three convenient locations, Lewisburg, Sunbury, or Berwick, call 522-8637. That's 522-TOES.
With mortgage rates at historic lows and buyers ready to make their move, it's going to be a great year to sell your house. Hi, I'm Ann Hilliard with Coldwell Banker Penn One Real Estate. With nearly 20 years' experience, it's easy to see which way our housing market is turning. It's only March, and the market is already buzzing, and that's great news. If you've been thinking about putting your house on the market, consider working with an experienced agent with a proven track record. Call me, Ann Hilliard, at Coldwell Banker Penn One Real Estate in Lewisburg, at 524-7500.
Spring's coming. Time to look at building your dream home with Brookside Homes. Just one look is all it takes to see what makes Brookside better. Superb construction with Zip exterior wall shading and StormX water barrier. Dance pack insulation and new superior XI Plus basement walls. Plus hybrid heating cooling systems. Now amenities like hardwood floors and superior quality Stainmaster carpet. Look at choices. Over 90 plans and more standard features than any other builder. Call us at 374-7900 or visit brookside-homes.com. You'll say just one look is all it took.
Take a look.
Have you been to Columbia Mall lately? Do you even know what all they have at the mall? Maybe you should take another look. They might not be the biggest mall around, but they have all you need, plus unique events and things you won't find at other area malls. Like My Town. My Town is a really cool place where kids play and learn in a town built just for them. They even offer birthday parties, field trips, and even have Wi-Fi. You can get your hair done, your nails done, and shop till you drop just like other malls. So if you're one of those people who don't think Columbia Mall has anything, come on, take another look. You might just change your outlook. Learn what's going on in your hometown mall at ColumbiaMall.com.
In-depth reporting of major world events from NBC News. Yet another way to keep you up to date begins soon on WKOK. Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show. 1-800-795-9565. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. And as we roll on here to the top of the hour in news, I'm sure Kevin has some more NFL news, right?
No, I'm good.
IRL?
Nothing new at the moment.
Oh, no.
Although it was really cool watching the Chevys and Hondas and the different engines, the new chassis, the new Weldon chassis. It was kind of cool.
Good.
I enjoyed that.
Special.
And hopefully by the time the 500 rolls around, we'll be able to get Jack Arute on the program.
That'd be great. I've been on Jack's show many times.
Oh, big fan. I loved what he's done with IndyCar over the years and wrote a book several years ago about his history in covering the Indianapolis 500. Outstanding.
His family owned Stafford Motor Speedway for years in Connecticut. Many, many years. In fact, some guys have moved from modifieds up to NASCAR, Jeff Bodine being a prime example, that came out of Stafford Motor Speedway. Bodine, in fact, had one summer where he won 14 consecutive races. And they finally put a pool together as, you know, who could beat him. And then he eventually moved to NASCAR.
It's not the same, though, watching IndyCar without Jack in the pits or anywhere, actually.
No, a lot of things have changed. I mean, a lot of things have changed. There's been so much movement along the way. Even Paul Page isn't even doing IRL anymore.
Oh, he was the voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for how many years?
Sure. So
now he does drag racing.
Right.
which was okay. And Jack not only did that, but of course he did a lot of college football stuff for ABC over the years and ESPN.
Right. No, he did. I thought he was an excellent sideline reporter for years, and that's where I ran into him a lot. Was they'd come up to the office and they'd have meetings, and he'd be part of the crew and he'd be working the sideline, and so that's where I had a chance to talk to him, and I talked to him about Stafford, and I talked to him a little bit about because he'd been living over in Suffield, Connecticut, which is across the river from where I grew up. Enfield's on the east side of the river, Suffield's on the west side of the river. And so we both had something in common. And,
Yeah, the book was called Tales from the Indy 500, and it was about his history not only as a fan of the 500, but also covering the 500 for so many years.
Right.
Great book. Enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, no, and one of the best. I mean, you get on the sideline spot's a tough spot to be in. Sarah will tell you about that. You only have a limited amount of time to get in information. Jack was always great at doing that. In the limited amount of time, you would get in the information you needed. And it was an important part of what they were doing. And Sarah knows that from the Bucknell broadcast. You only have a limited amount of time to take care of business down there. I mean, the time restraints on the sideline reporter are tremendous.
And IndyCar will be on the road. That's funny. IndyCar will be on a road course again this weekend on Sunday, the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Isn't that the race course that Charles Barkley is part owner in?
I'm not sure.
I think that's Barkley's, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But
I'll find out in a minute.
Charles is a piece of work. Never
it's
met
terrible.
Him. I just
it's
I
terrible.
Know, but I know enough. I know enough people that know him to know he's a piece of work.
This is terrible.
And they say it affectionately, by the way.
Although he was pretty good on Saturday Night Live, last season, I guess it was.
I wouldn't doubt that. I would not doubt that. I would not doubt that. So, so we roll to the end here. Tomorrow, more talk, and then later on, we're going to have Joe Bautista to update us on the ice hockey situation Thursday. Malcolm Moran from New Orleans at the Final Four on Thursday. Dick Girardi from the Final Four as well. I think we're going to get Dick on Friday, and we'll take care of all that as the week goes along. And then Kevin on his fantasy baseball picks.
Too late. I already made them. You can't help me out now.
No, I'm not questioning helping you out. I think we should reveal them.
I don't think we should.
And I think, and then allow everybody to follow along with Kev.
Cry is more like it.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Maybe you'll win.
Unlikely. Unlikely. I've not
then
been,
why did you draft these people if you have no confidence in them?
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with whether I have any confidence in them or not. It's whether I found the right information or not about them. That's where the problem lies.
I see.
I have a tendency to get misinformation in baseball players.
Felt like you overreached on Carl Crawford, huh?
I might have. Yeah, I might have.
Yeah, brother. Okay, well, we head to the top of the hour. And great show today. Enjoyed it very much. Our thanks to Paul Keels from the Ohio State Radio Network. And also, it was great to hear Bill O'Brien on the show from his press conference yesterday. Our thanks to Carissa Maxwell for putting all that together. For Kevin Herr, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow on WKOK.